Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right, very good. Today I'd like to talk with you about another title that God has bestowed upon you in Jesus Christ. That title is Sons of Light and Sons of the Day. This is what God has actually called you. God's word never returns to him void. And this is part of your new identity in Jesus Christ, having believed in him. And so let's talk today about the name that God has given you, Sons of Light and Sons of the Day. Where is this written, first of all? Let's take a look at our gospel lesson in John chapter 12. Jesus says, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify thy name." A voice comes from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I'll glorify it again." The crowd standing by heard it, and some said that it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world, now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show by what death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We've heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" And then Jesus answered them like this. He says, the light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. That you may become sons of light. Today I'd like to talk with you about this title that God has given to you who believe in the light of the world, Jesus Christ. He has called you a son of light, a son of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So think about how great this title is. And it's meant to change you. It's meant to change the way you see the world and the way you live. So what would God then say to us today through this title that he's given to us, Sons of Light and Sons of the Day? Well, as I think about that, the first thing that comes to mind that God would have us reminded of is that there is a great spiritual battle that takes place and is waged between light and darkness, between good and evil. And we don't want to ever forget this fact. The world would have us forget it, but God wants us, by this name he's given us, to remember we are engaged in a great conflict of the ages, in the heavenlies, in this earth, between light and darkness, between the power of good and the power of evil, between Christ and the prince of darkness, the devil. And so let's take a look at what Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 35. He says, "The light is with you for a little while. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you." That word overtake in the Greek is katalambano, which means to lay hold of you, to make you its own, to overtake you. So that must be a real power that Jesus is warning us about, right? Beware lest the darkness overtake you. So what is darkness then? Well, if you look it up in the dictionary, darkness is the absence of light. And so we might want to ask, what is light? Well, let's take a look and find some of the places where we can understand what light is. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, John writes, "This is the message which we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So what is light? Let me ask you. Or who is light? God is light. We also go on to 1 Timothy 6. He says, "God alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see." So he lives in light. Therefore, the light is also his kingdom. If we look at Psalm 43, the prayer is this: "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling." send out your light and your truth. So light is truth. And in Psalm 119, we hear, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And therefore, light is the word of God. And then finally also, John chapter 8, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So it's a person, Jesus Christ. So we have God, his kingdom, his truth, his word, his son, Jesus Christ. This is light. Just picture what it's like to see the light in the morning after a long day. I remember one time some years ago when I was out, I wanted to do a special prayer thing where I went through the night and saw the sunrise up in Cape Cod, and the hours of darkness were long. In fact, one other time I tried this, I couldn't even take it for several hours. I was on an island, deserted, and I found a little place away from my campsite. I was just going to stay all the way through the night and watch what night was like. It was so oppressive. There was just absolute stillness. There was a thick cloud cover. I didn't see a star above me. The whole forest was black. And maybe once an hour, I heard a little mouse run here and there. And I heard an owl once or twice. That was it. It got so oppressive and cold and dark, I eventually lasted about 2 hours and ran back to my campsite and went to sleep. But it's light versus darkness. And as we said before, darkness is the absence of light. That's all it really is. There's nothing in and of itself, but it is the rejection of God, the rejection of his kingdom, the rejection of his truth, the rejection of his love, the rejection of his word, and the rejection of his son, Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you then today, how brilliant and bright is the world in which we live? This world is dark, as they say in Maine, right? Jane Harris always says, dark Maine. Well, it is a dark, dark world that we live in, right? Because it has rejected God, his kingdom, the truth, his word, love, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And God calls us to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hid. Nor does one light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, that all may see the light. Let your light so shine, that others may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. But the world itself in which we live, we need to be careful of, lest the darkness overtake us, because it is a dark, dark world. As it says in Romans chapter 1, they were filled with all manner of wickedness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Does that describe the world in which we live, or just Paul's day? I think that well describes the world in which we're living. And what is this but darkness? Yes, thick darkness. Now, we need to be careful because in the world, as it says in Isaiah chapter 5, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. When we look out on the world today, who do they claim is in darkness? Us, right? Christians. You're not enlightened. You're not in the light. Because if you are in the light, if you are of an enlightened mind, then you would recognize all religions as equally valid opinions about the truth. You would recognize all the truths. You would glorify the Hollywood stars and their lifestyles and debauchery and the love of money. And how about pluralism and letting, I'm not for burning the Quran, of course, but I also do not believe in the Quran. I reject the Quran because it rejects my Lord Jesus Christ. It rejects the teaching. I mean, it says that Jesus never died on the cross. And so the world in which we're living puts light for darkness and darkness for light. They say, we're the righteous ones. You are arrogant. You are intolerant. You are narrow-minded. You are judgmental. You are crude. You're abusive, when in fact they're putting darkness for light and light for darkness. Don't let the darkness, Jesus says, overtake you. It's very tricky. In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. So when we are sons of light, we're called to live in the light and be able to see into the dark of this world and know what is light and what is darkness. The world's going to try to pull a fast one over on us and teach us the exact opposite of light. But just because darkness is darkness doesn't mean, it doesn't pretend to be light. We need, therefore, to have a very sharp eye and have the light burning in us that we can see what is true and what is false. Skatia is the word in the Greek for darkness. It's a want of light or an ignorance of divine things. Let me ask you, is this world really dark? We just described it as dark. Is it really? Is God's light shining on this earth today? God sent his son Jesus Christ into the world. He is the light of the world, the light of men, as it says in John chapter 1. And that light is shining over the whole world, even as we speak, even over those who are in the kingdom and dominion of darkness. Where does it shine? It shines in nature, for one. When you go out and look at nature, when you see the clouds or a beautiful sunset or the beautiful colors of a butterfly or of the stars at night, is God's light shining upon you then? Yeah, it says in Romans chapter 1, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they're without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their senseless minds were darkened. If you can look at the world, if you can look at nature and say there is no God, you are in the darkness still. But if you're a son of light, you see light everywhere you go. There is nowhere where there is not light shining upon you. You see it in nature. How about in your conscience? It says in Romans chapter 1, that though they know God's decree that those who do such things deserve to die, that they not only do them, but approve those who practice them. Ain't that the world? Right? They live in darkness, they love the darkness, and they deny the conscience. But we, in our conscience, know that there is a God, that there is light shining upon us. And most especially, where has it shined? It shined in the gospel of our Lord. Jesus said, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. God has shined where? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Whoops. I know it here. It says, God has given us the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. God, who said, let light shine out of darkness in the very beginning of the world, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul says in his letter to Timothy that God has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this is the gospel I'd like to share with you right now. It was prophesied long ago in a dark world, in the dark night of sin. But there will be no gloom for her that was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, but in the latter time, he'll make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Where was it going to shine? God told you ahead of time. Where? In the land of Galilee. Did it shine in Galilee? That's where Jesus came. God has shined his light exactly as he prophesied through Isaiah, and he shined it in Jesus Christ, who said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. For he gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but because of the grace which he gave us in Christ Jesus ages ago, and now has manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Can I make a confession to you about something I've kept in darkness for the last few minutes? Children's sermon. Messed up. There's a center candle in there, which was a trick candle. Hence, I relit it and said, well, maybe it just didn't catch with the chemicals. And I tried it again, and still, it went out in 2 seconds. But in truth, the light has come into the world, and though the darkness sought to overcome it and blow Jesus out, guess what? And that was the point I was going to make in the children's sermon. You cannot put out Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, the light that no darkness can overcome. And so when God sent his son, Jesus Christ, he died for us because he needed to save us from our sins. But the light of the world can't be kept in darkness. He was raised up to life again, and he puts that same indestructible life and light within you. It's written in Proverbs. He says, though the righteous man falls 7 times, he shall rise again. And that's because the Lord is in him. The Lord is with him. Do you believe this gospel, which I'm proclaiming to you right this day? It was said to Paul by God, rise, stand upon your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and to witness to those things which you've seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I declare to you right now the light of the world, and the light of the world is shining right into you right now through me, saying, I am the light of the world, says Jesus. Believe in me, and that you may become sons of light. If you believe in him, I declare to you right now that your sins are forgiven you, because he died to deliver us from the present evil age. And what's that mean? Jesus says, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. Another time I was in the woods. I was out in high school. I was looking at some of the owls in the big evergreens up by a reservoir in Connecticut. And I was moving pretty well through the woods. There were these, the bottoms of the pine trees had all those sticks coming out, the limbs that no longer had anything on them. That was fine. And I was moving quickly through the woods until darkness overtook me. And when I couldn't see anything, all of a sudden everything was poking me in the eye. My progress was slowed right down, and as Jesus says, he who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going, and he stumbles. But guess what? The light of the world is in us. If you have the light, you see now, don't you? What things that you did not used to see? You see where you were. I was in sin. You see where you are now. I'm on the path of light. You see where you're going, to the kingdom of light and the city set on a hill in heaven. You see Jesus Christ, though you don't see him with your physical eyes, you see him who is the light of the world. You see the gospel, that you have a Savior who has died for your sins. And you can now see in ways that other people cannot see the right way to go in life. You know, in my earlier days, I just could not distinguish very well at all between light and darkness. I would watch TV shows. I remember watching, for example, Kung Fu. Remember that show? Had all these really cool little sayings of wisdom, and I thought, oh, isn't that so awesome? I recently watched a little bit of that on YouTube, and I was like, I can't believe I bought this garbage. There was only one line out of all the 17 lessons that I looked at, or whatever it was, the little short little snips, that I said was true, at least could be reflected into the truth. All the rest of them were just a bunch of hobnob garbage. But I didn't see it back then because I didn't have the light of God's word in me. Remember Star Wars? Of course, I know Greg over there remembers Star Wars. You love Star Wars, right? Yep. And I really like that show. But remember that line in the second movie, Luke, do not underestimate the power of the Emperor. Do not underestimate the power of the Emperor. And we need not to underestimate the power of darkness. He puts himself, the Prince of Darkness, he puts himself as an angel of light. He's constantly trying to lead us astray. He is the one who is called more subtle than any other wild creature that the Lord God had made. And he has brought many a Christian low through trickery. And so beware lest the darkness overtake you. How do we do that? Well, Paul says this in Romans 13. Besides this, you know the time. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. If we're to avoid darkness and we're to walk in the light of the Lord, this is simple. It's simply put on light. Put on the word of God. And in the weeks, I have some weeks where I'm really into the word and some weeks where I'm not really into the word. Amen? Do you guys experience this yourselves? What do you feel like in the day, in the week when you are not into this word hardly at all? You feel your mind get cloudy, don't you? There is the overreaching dark hand of sin, which seems to want to cloud your mind. And then at the end of those weeks, I feel all mixed up and confused and foggy in my faith. But if I put on the armor of light, if I put on the word every day, what do I feel like at the end of that week? If I could describe it in one or two words, I would say, see clearly. Or sharp mind, or clear faith. When I put on this armor, when I put on this light, for it says in Psalm 119, the unfolding of thy words gives light. When I have this light poured into me day after day, and I saturate my life with it, I've made some recordings of the scriptures. Now, when I'm working around the house, I just put it on, and I listen through tape after tape and scripture after scripture. Do the same at night. You ever get too tired at night when you go to sleep and you're like, oh man, I can't really read the Bible. That's too much work. I'll do something easier. Well, we have some tapes for you. You can have some tapes of me reading the scriptures if you want. But put a tape on and listen to it and you can hear and lay in bed and very easily soak in putting on the armor of light. And when I do that for a week and go through book after book and scripture after scripture, that is light being poured into me. And at the end of that week, I feel sharp and clear and strong in my faith. Why? Because of my strength? No, but because God has been pouring his strength, his light into me, putting on that armor of light. And guess what? What is darkness? Darkness is simply the absence of light. If you want darkness in your life, then just don't have the light in it. Okay? But if you want light and to push back the darkness, very simple. Just fill it with light. Let God's word pour into you. Have tapes. Listen to scriptures. And listen to hymns. And have these things saturating you and filling you. For we're not in the darkness, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5. You're not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. What day? The day of the Lord. The day of his coming. Jesus says, nothing is covered up that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. And what you've whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Is that a fearful word for the world who's living in darkness? Why do they live in darkness? God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But a few lines later, John says, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But guess what? Your deeds will be exposed. Every one of them, even the secret recesses of your hearts. And therefore, God says, come to me. Come to the light that I may wash you, heal you, forgive your sins, and then shine on you. And we live in light of that day. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not of the night, we are not of the darkness, for you are all sons of light and sons of the day, he says in 1 Thessalonians 5. So in conclusion, what do we say about the whole world? The whole history of mankind is really like a simple day. It began with the sunshine, maybe at the end of a day, and then Adam and Eve sinned, and there was darkness, and a very dark night. But God put little stars in the sky called prophets and prophecies, which promised that there would be a coming light, and it was a light for those who were in darkness in those days. But now, the bright morning star has appeared. Jesus Christ shines in the sky. And what does the bright morning star herald? The coming of dawn. Jesus then lit all of us like little candles. His candle lit all of us. And we are like the birds, singing at the coming of dawn, getting brighter and louder and singing. For the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. But I'll tell you, that day that will not surprise us is coming. The day upon which God's light will shine. So we'll conclude with these words concerning that day, in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, where he says, but as for you who fear my name, the Son of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. And Isaiah, your dead bodies shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust of the earth shall awake and sing for joy, for your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to her dead. Thanks be to God. Amen.